This is Continuous Coverage.
Continuous Coverage.
Continuous Coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast.
Let's go back to the courtroom. It's day number one, and this is segment number four.
All right, thank you. We're going back on the record. Case CR 22-211624, State of Idaho versus Lori Noreen Vallow. There's been an objection raised that relates to issues that have previously been brought before the court in motions in limine and motions by the state in regards to 404B evidence. The court finds it appropriate to take up a argument and ruling on the issue at this point outside of the presence of the jurors who have been excused for a mid-afternoon break. So there was an objection raised by the defense. I'd like to hear the response from the state, and then I'll allow a rebuttal argument from the defense before making a ruling.
I'll turn on my microphone. And the court wants a out in public our response in front of the witness.
Yes.
Okay. Your Honor, the state believes that this is part of a common scheme and plan. The defendant, with her co-conspirators, conspired to cause the death of multiple individuals in her world. She is charged specifically with the death of Tylee, JJ, and Tammy. She's charged with conspiracy on those issues. And the state's belief in the electronic evidence, the telephone evidence, the witness testimonies through those people who participated in these conversations clearly establish a conspiracy to remove individuals who were obstacles to her future life together with Chad Daybell, and to remove obstacles to their plan for this life together. The shooting of at and killing of spouses of individuals who were part of this group was part of this common scheme or plan. The financial benefit to Ms. Vallow Daybell's niece at the death of her soon-to-be ex-husband would have helped finance some of the defendant's travels, lives, and movement on in the future. There will be multiple witnesses who discuss that the defendant talked to people that Melanie Boudreau and her money would take care of them, that Melanie Boudreau and her money would help aid the group's plans for the future. And fundamentally, it is part of a common scheme or plan. It is far more probative than prejudicial. It is part and parcel. The other piece, just from logic in terms of the law enforcement involvement, the shooting at Mr. Boudreau is what actively got law enforcement paying attention, what actively got law enforcement looking for JJ and Tylee, and it's core to the presentation of many of the law enforcement's assessments of evidence.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Smith. Mr. Thomas, the response from the defense.
Just so that I understand, the state is indicating that this is part of a common scheme or plan, and getting rid of spouses is part of the common scheme or plan. Judge, it seems like this is a stretch at best. We'd ask the court not to allow this evidence in. It doesn't, without further foundation, through all of these other text messages and whatnot, Mr. Boudreau can be called after some of these things come in to testify, but at this point, I don't think it's appropriate to allow him to testify about these things without any more foundation.
Your Honor, may I just briefly, you know, this is a chicken or an egg thing. I guarantee you if the state offered those other items, the defense would be saying it's premature because we don't know what happened. And so in reality, we have the witness here. He had a relationship, and the state is abiding by the previous rulings of the court. We brought it to your attention in camera ahead of time. You've given us a ruling in limine, and we are following that ruling.
All right. Well, I do agree it is a chicken and an egg thing, as you mentioned. When looking at this evidence, the court has to consider Rule 404B, because it's premised on what may be presented in court. Generally, it's brought up outside the presence of the jury and also in advance of trial. The parties have complied with that procedurally. And so we did have a closed hearing relating to this 404B issue back in February of this year. And on February 22nd, the court issued an oral ruling that as a preliminary matter, I would allow the evidence or not prohibit the evidence under Rule 404B, and also made findings related specifically to this particular witness and what is alleged to have occurred. I've considered whether or not the order of things should require more foundation before we go into it at this point, but I don't really see a better way other than to admonish and caution the state that at this point I'll permit the 404B evidence to be admitted. However, at this stage of the proceedings, there's not really a record that goes into the common scheme or plan in the detail that you've indicated. However, there was a proffer made by the state at the previous ruling, and again a proffer today that evidence will be forthcoming. So I'll overrule the objection and allow the evidence, but the, I guess, danger for the state there is if sufficient evidence does not come in later to support the allegations that take this outside of 404B, then we may have an issue with the jury having heard this testimony. So the court will rely on the proffers made today and previously in overruling that objection, and I'll allow this line of questioning based on that and my prior finding made at that February 22nd ruling that was briefed and argued by the parties before. So that'll be the court's decision on the evidentiary objection at this point. We'll now bring the jurors in, and just before I do that, I will advise and caution the witness here who, although you've heard a lot of legal argument here, you're still required to just tell only what you know from your own personal experience in answering these questions, and could be subject to further objections if you go outside of that based on anything you heard here in legal argument. So with that in mind, that's the court's ruling at this time. We'll have the jury returned, and then you can continue your examination, Ms. Smith.
Thank you, Judge.
All right, please.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Bailiff. Please be seated. All right. Ms. Smith, you can continue your questioning. I'll remind the witness you're still under oath.
Mr. Boudreaux, you were telling us about being shot at on October 2nd of 2019. Do you remember that? All right, let's back up. Where'd you been that morning?
I had my kids, so when we woke up, I got them ready for school. My two older kids were in elementary school, so I dropped them off at their school. My third youngest went to a daycare preschool, and then I dropped my very youngest off at their mom's house, Melanie.
Melanie Boudreaux's home?
Yes.
Okay. Now, what did you do after that?
After that, I drove to my gym where I worked out.
Okay. And this occurred down in Arizona, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then what did you do after going to the gym? Did you head home?
Yeah, so I left the gym and I drove home. As I was driving home, I lived on the second house in off of, I would make a left-hand turn onto my street, and I was the second house in.
Okay, let me ask you, how long had you lived in that home?
Only a few days. I, like I said, I sold my house previously, and in a rush to make sure that I got my kids that coming weekend, I had just moved everything myself, and then two of my neighbors noticed me moving.
Let me just stop you there. How long had you lived at that house?
Only a few days.
Okay. And while you were at that, who knew you lived at that house?
Maybe five people.
Okay. And who were those five?
My neighbors who helped me move, and Melanie, who I had to tell.
Okay. So you're heading home that morning, and you turn on the street. What happens next?
As I came around the corner, I noticed there was a Jeep parked right in front of my driveway. My driveway would have been like this, and the Jeep was just parked right directly in front of it. As I was starting to drive towards it, and I would have had to make a left-hand turn into it, I noticed a few things that stood out to me. The first was that it...
What were the things that you noticed?
Oh, yeah. I noticed that it was parked really closely, almost touching the van that had been parked there the previous several days. It had a Texas license plate, and... It was a Jeep Wrangler, and Wranglers have a tire on the back of them, and there was no tire on this one. Instead, the window was kind of hanging open, but like the little tab things were like sitting on the outside of it.
Okay. So you see those things about the Jeep. What happens next?
As I drove forward, the window came up, and I saw a gun with what looked like a silencer. Heard a bang, and my driver's side window shattered. And so my natural reaction, instead of turning left into my driveway, I drove an electric car, so it was very instant, but I just pushed the gas and it just shot me forward.
Okay. What happened after your car, your window is shot out?
I continued to drive, and when you're in a Tesla, the electric car, you let your foot off the gas, it breaks. And so I remember when I hit it, my phone flew forward. And then as I kind of came around the corner, I remember letting my foot off and it came back, grabbed my phone. I called 911. I went around the corner and I parked next to, the public pool there for a second. And then I remember as I was talking to the 911 person, I saw the Jeep come around the corner, and I don't know what I was thinking, but I started to try to follow it, and then the person told me that was a bad idea, so I thought it. I'm not 100% sure which, but I went back over, and they instructed me to park in front of my house, so I parked in front of my house, and then police arrived.
Okay. Did you give the police the information on that Jeep?
I did, yes.
Okay, and did you follow up with law enforcement down in Arizona? Thanks. And so now my next question is, did you take any steps after cooperating with law enforcement to identify that Jeep?
I did, yes.
What did you do?
It took all day to go through, like, once this happened, but after a long amount of time in the process, I had met with a detective and talked to him about just thoughts that I had about what was going on. He was just asking me, trying to get a handle on it. And as I was thinking about that, I realized that Tylee had a Jeep that Charles had bought her with a Texas plate that looked exactly like that. And I knew the VIN number because Charles had given it to me. So I gave that to the police officer, to my detective.
Okay. What color was that Jeep?
It was a grayish green color.
Okay. And did the Jeep you saw had no tire on the back?
Correct.
Okay. Did you take any steps then also to provide it? I'm sorry, you told us you gave the VIN to law enforcement? Forgive me. How did you get that VIN?
Charles had given it to me previously.
Why would he give you a VIN?
I was an insurance agent at the time, and he had given it to me to run insurance across all of their different cars.
Okay. And so you provided that to law enforcement, correct?
I did, yes.
All right. What other steps, if any, did you take to follow up on that Jeep that you believe to be Tylee's Jeep and the shooting at you?
I had called and talked to Adam Cox and Zach Cox because they had also had concerns about everything going on. And
okay, other than talking to somebody, what other steps did you take?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Did you look at any information on the internet?
About the Jeep?
were following up on the shooting at you.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I did. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah, after my shooting, I started to have my beliefs about who I thought did it, and I got concerned about the situation. And so I started thinking back to previous stuff that had happened, and I remembered that in these groups there were people who I didn't know, but I remember there was a bunch of emails Charles had sent me. So I went through and reread those.
Okay. And did you see any names in the emails that you were looking at? When you say those groups, you're talking the groups of people that your wife was meeting in these firesides?
Yeah, yeah. She was meeting a bunch of people that didn't necessarily have, that were, said they were members of the church, but didn't have any, like, necessary connection to the church. And in that process, some of them would, you know, write books or do things, and she would get into some of this stuff. And I remember distinctly inside of these groups, there was emails that were being sent with a group of them. And so I just went back to look at the emails Charles had sent me from there. And most of them came from Chad Daybell. And since I didn't know who he was, I started Googling his name.
Okay. And in that process of Googling his name, what did you see?
You know, I was just going through some of the things that were there, and I saw an obituary for Tammy Daybell.
Okay. And after you saw that, did you take any steps to follow up on what you saw?
Yes. It made me really nervous because Charles.
Let me ask you the question now. What steps did you take?
Oh, sorry. Because of how I was feeling, my nervousness, I reported it to law enforcement and told them that in my gut something felt wrong, and I just asked them to follow up.
Okay. Now, somewhere in here, did you learn that JJ and Tyler were missing?
Yeah. As things progressed and I came to my opinion about who it was that shot at me, I started to try to be proactive and helping get information, doing whatever I could. And in that process, we found out that no one had seen from Tylee or JJ.
Okay. Your Honor, the state is going to ask the court for the Mission of State's Exhibit number 5. It has some additional stickers on it that aren't relevant to this hearing, but the sticker is on the back at State's Exhibit 5, which is a self-authenticating document, which is the birth certificate for Tylee Ryan, showing a date of birth of 9/24/2002. And, Your Honor, we did not make extra copies of that because it's in an evidence envelope. I certainly can if the court wants.
I've had an opportunity to review that, so all right, so to be clear, it is marked previously with Exhibit 4 stickers, but this is State's Trial Exhibit 5.
Okay. Thank you. Would you show the witness? And just for the record, what does that document reflect?
It says Tylee Ryan.
Your Honor, I'm going to object here. I don't think he has personal knowledge of anybody can just read the document.
Well, and I understand the document. First of all, it's not been admitted yet.
Oh, I apologize.
So let's figure out where we are with that.
I apologize. I thought the court had admitted it. The state moved for the admission of State's Exhibit 5.
Any objection?
As to the document being
admitted,
a birth certificate, we have no objection to the fact that it's a birth certificate.
Okay, so Exhibit 5 is admitted, and then you can continue with your questioning now that it's been admitted.
Thank you, Your Honor. On State's Exhibit 5, which has been admitted, what's the date of birth listed for Tylee Ryan?
9/24/2002.
Okay. Your Honor, the state also at this time would offer to the court State's Exhibit number 6. I would give an opportunity to both give it to the court and to ask the witness to look at it. Original on top, court copy underneath.
I think I have the original now.
I think they probably all have stickers, Judge. One should say the word original on it.
Okay, mine does not.
So okay, good.
Sticker,
all right, thanks. Thank you. May I proceed, Judge?
Yeah, also this has been offered now but not yet admitted.
Well, I was going to have the witness identify it first, but I wanted to give it to you before
okay.
we did that.
Go ahead.
Okay. Do you recognize State's Exhibit Number 6?
Yes, I do.
Okay. What is it?
It's a picture of Tylee from her Instagram.
Okay. Is it true and accurate picture of Tylee in her teenage years?
Yeah.
Okay. Move for the admission of State's Exhibit Number 6.
Any objection?
May I volunteer an aide?
You may.
You indicate that this is a photograph of Tylee from her Instagram, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, and how do you recognize that?
I'm friends with her on Instagram.
You're friends on Instagram with her?
Yes.
Okay. And you saw this pop up on your Instagram?
Yes, I have.
Okay. You didn't take the photograph?
No, I did not.
Okay. You don't know if it's been photoshopped or, it looks like her, right?
Yes.
But you're not positive that whatever's on the photograph or in the photograph is legitimate. You weren't there when the photograph was taken.
I was not there when this photograph was taken.
Your Honor, the only objection I have is that it's not an original. We don't know who the photographer is. We don't know if it's been photoshopped. We don't know if it's been altered in any way.
All right. Understood. Response?
Your Honor, that's not the foundation for the admissibility. If defense counsel's concerns, they go to the weight, not necessarily the admissibility. This witness has said he is familiar with the person who's in the picture, he's familiar with her Instagram, and he knows whether it's a fair and accurate depiction of Tylee Ryan.
All right. I've considered that objection. I think what we have here is it will be admitted. For illustrative purposes, in terms of evidentiary value, without further foundation about who precisely or when took the picture or where, if we're going beyond that, I'd have concerns, so it is admitted for the purpose of demonstrating who is shown in the picture.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Is the machine on? Thank you. Thank you. Is that the picture of Tylee?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you indicated that you were aware that JJ and Tylee were missing in the fall of 2019, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Did you ever learn whether JJ and Tylee had been found?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Where were you when you learned that JJ and Tylee had been found?
I was in my parents' home in their garage.
Okay.
Sorry, just a sec. I was in my parents' home in their garage.
Okay. All right. And when you became aware of this issue, did you travel somewhere?
I did. It was the day before my wedding. Okay. They weren't certain, so I had my wedding.
Okay.
And then the next day I came up to Rexburg.
Okay, what date was that?
It would have been June 11th.
Okay, of what year?
Or June, of 2020.
Okay. What happened once you got in Rexburg?
I I drove up. I didn't know why, but I just felt like I should come up. And so I came up, and I met with Larry and Kay and Woodcock. And
did law enforcement ask you to do anything?
Yes, they had asked me if I could identify JJ.
And did you do that?
Yes, I did.
How did that happen?
I drove to a place where they showed me some pictures of him and asked if I could identify him, and I did.
Okay. And those were images showed you by Rexburg police officers and FBI agents, correct?
Yes.
Okay. One moment, please, Your Honor. I want to ask you a couple of quick questions to make sure I didn't ask confusing questions. To be clear, what date were you shot at?
October 2nd.
Of what year?
2019.
Okay. And then over the next month or so, you did Google searches?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember when you saw evidence that Tammy Daybell had died?
I want to say that I saw it on October 21st, maybe. It might have been the 19th. I can't say exactly. It's been a few years since then.
Okay.
I should have reviewed that. I apologize.
Sorry. Thank you. I have nothing further.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Smith. Mr. Thomas, will you be conducting cross?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, you can do so.
Just really quickly, I want to follow up on what Ms. Smith had said. You said on October the 2nd, you were shot at, and then over the next few months, you did Google searches? Is that what you said?
Over the next few months, there was times I did Google searches, yes.
And what were those Google searches about?
The one I think she was referring to was I searched for Chad Daybell's name to figure out who he was and try to get more information on him.
Okay. So you and your then-wife, Melanie, were having some issues back in 2018, end of 2018, right? Is that right?
Can you define issues?
Well, I mean, at some point you got divorced, right?
Yeah, but in 2018, I wouldn't say that we were at a point where we were looking at divorce.
Okay. When did that happen? When did the divorce thing come up in early 2019?
No, not until June of 2019 was the first time it was ever mentioned.
June of 2019. Mm-hmm. And that's when you had gone off to a business trip and had come back?
No, I was not on a business trip.
Okay, what was it?
I took my family and we went to her parents' house.
In Arizona?
In Utah.
Your parents' house?
No, my ex's parents live in Utah.
Melanie?
Melanie's parents live in Utah, and that's where we were staying, was in her parents' home.
Oh, I see. Okay. And at that point, she said something about she had some issues with you, one of them being that she said that she thought that you were homosexual?
Correct.
And what was that based on? Was there any basis to that?
She told me that God had told her.
God had told her that you were homosexual?
Yes.
Okay. It had nothing to do with video that one of your friends had posted on Facebook with you being at the Pink Pony dancing around?
Correct.
Okay. That was something different?
The only thing that happened with that was after a long argument, I asked her to give me some logical reasons because it didn't make any logical sense. And the only thing she could think of was that she had seen a video of me dancing with someone at a Pink Pony Club, which was available to anybody to see on Facebook. It was just public.
And where's the Pink Pony?
Objection, Your Honor. I understand this is cross, but it's getting pretty far afield.
All out at this time. It's proper cross.
It's in Gulf Shores, Alabama.
Okay. And then in, as we indicated, October 2nd, you believe you were shot at, and you believe that the Jeep that held the gun that was shooting at you was a Jeep Wrangler?
Yes.
And you believe that to be Tylee's Jeep Wrangler?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And you indicated that you had actually tried to follow that Jeep Wrangler, is that right?
For a few seconds, yes.
Okay. And did you get the license plate?
I was not able to get the license plate.
How far away from the Jeep Wrangler were you?
At that point, it was very far away. It was, I barely saw it. It was over at the corner of the neighborhood, and I was very far in a distant corner. I just saw the Jeep had come around that angle, and it turned right around and went the other way.
So how far away was the shot that you think came from? You think it came from the Jeep Wrangler? How far away was the Jeep Wrangler from your car when the shot was made?
The car was parked probably a little further than the distance of where you're at to me.
Me to you?
Yeah, a little bit further.
30 feet, 20 feet?
Somewhere in there.
Okay. And you indicated that only probably five people knew where you had lived at the time?
Yes.
And you don't believe this to be a stray bullet or something other than, you're pretty positive that this came from that Jeep?
Yes.
Okay. Did you see a muzzle flash from the Jeep?
I saw what looked like, as I described before, a silencer. But I can't say that I saw the muzzle flash.
And was that in your rearview mirror?
No, it was straight in front of me.
Straight in front of you?
Yeah, I was looking straight at it.
Okay. So you saw a silencer, but you didn't see any type of flash when the shot was taken?
I can't say for certain that I did.
Okay. It's possible that that shot came from somewhere else?
No.
Okay. You indicated, and I think counsel for the state and I were both somewhat taken aback when you said that you knew the VIN number of the Jeep, and you indicated that you were the insurance agent on the Jeep.
I was no longer the insurance agent, but I ran it for Charles. He had given me the information.
What do you mean by that?
Well, he wanted me to price shop, so he gave me the VIN number for each of the vehicles that they had.
And when was that?
A few months earlier, maybe around April.
Okay. And he had done that in an email or a text or something like that?
Yeah, it was just in my text.
Okay. Do you have that text still?
I'm not sure if it was a text or if it was an email. Honestly, I'm not sure exactly how I got that VIN, but I know he gave it to me. He may have emailed it.
Go ahead.
I'm not certain which way he gave it to me.
Did you turn that information over to the police or to the prosecutor?
I did, yes.
That email?
No, I turned over all of the VIN number to the detective at the time.
And they didn't ask you how you got the VIN number?
It was a long time ago. I can't tell you for certain. I just told him the VIN number.
Okay. You indicate that you were rereading some emails from Charles to yourself at some point. Did you turn those emails over to the prosecutor or to the police?
I did, yes.
Okay. And what were those emails about?
The emails were from Charles to the rest of the family. And then some of them were, in his concerns about what he thought was going on in his relationship with Lori as they went through their breakup. And separately, there were other emails that were kind of his evidence that he was giving us of these groups that she was meeting with.
I'm a little bit confused because you indicate that you were rereading emails. I thought, and maybe it was this is me, I thought they were from Charles to you, not to his family.
I am part of his family. He sent them to all of us.
Okay. So these were group emails that you were a part of the group email?
Correct.
Oh, I see. Okay. When you found out that they had found the remains of Tylee and JJ, you indicate that you had a wedding on, looks like, June the 10th, and then you went up to Rexburg on June the 11th. Is that right?
Yes, I believe it was the 11th. Might have been the 12th. I didn't review my notes on that either, so I should have.
Okay. And you indicate that you met with Kay and Larry Woodcock?
I did, yes, that morning.
Did you meet with anybody else?
No, I talked to law enforcement over the phone.
Talked to law enforcement over the phone while you were in Rexburg?
Yes.
Okay. You didn't talk to law enforcement over the phone while you were still in Utah or Arizona or where you were living at the time?
Are you talking about on that specific day?
Yeah. Or the day before, or,
I can't recall specifically if I met with them. I don't think I did, but I might have met with them in person besides the phone call. I did meet with them in person when I looked at the pictures.
Okay. And so then you said that law enforcement asked you if you could identify Tylee and JJ?
Just JJ.
Just JJ. And so what was that conversation like? I mean, they didn't ask somebody like Kay or Larry or somebody who was closer to JJ? Or they just came to you?
I mean, I think I was as close to JJ as Kay and Larry. We were all family. They had initially asked Larry, but it's a pretty overwhelming task to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it was with his health where it was, if it was something he was up for, so I said I would.
So you were there when they were having the conversation with Kay and Larry about who was going to identify JJ?
I was there after the conversation and talking to them.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, I have no further questions. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Will there be any redirect?
No, Your Honor.
All right, that'll conclude the testimony of this witness then. Thank you, Mr. Boudreau.
You can
go ahead and step down from the witness box.
Your Honor, a quick question. Mr. Boudreau does not live in this state. Is he released from his subpoena?
Any objection?
We're not going to recall him.
Okay.
We don't have any objection.
Very well. You can be released from your subpoena as well then. Thank you for appearing and testifying. All right, counsel, at this point, I'm going to suggest we break for the day based on your next witness, who I think is probably going to take some time. Who would be called next by the state?
Detective Hermosillo is the next witness for the state to be questioned by Mr. Wood.
All right, and do you anticipate that'll take some time?
Yes, it'll take a fair amount of time.
Okay. Well, given that and the time frame, I'm going to try to keep committed to our trial schedule for our benefit of the jurors also. So before we break for the day then, first I again want to thank everyone for complying with the court's administrative orders and the proceedings and having an orderly first day of trial today. I also know that as jurors, you're probably already tired of hearing me say this, but I'm going to keep telling you every day when you leave, please do not conduct any kind of investigation into this case. Don't look up any information about this case on the internet or anywhere else. Don't talk to each other or anyone else about the case. If anyone asks you about the case, please tell them you can't talk to them. And if they persist, please report that to the court. We'll look forward to seeing you all tomorrow morning. You'll be instructed as to when and where to report, and that will adjourn our first day of trial. So with that in mind, we will be in recess until tomorrow.
All right, please.
This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage. In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast.
There is much more to come. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss a minute of our coverage. Get an ad-free version of it when you sign up through Apple Podcasts right now as a premium subscriber. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.